listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we launch a new series, Who Makes Up the LCMS Council of Presidents? What do they do and where do they serve? We have 40 plus interviews lined up to give you the opportunity to meet the members of the LCMS Council of Presidents, which includes district presidents and synod vice presidents. Do you know how many synod vice presidents we have, Sarah?
A lot.
A lot?
35. No.
Oh, those are district presidents.
Seven. Six?
You'll find out in this series.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul at csp.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Benjamin Ball. He's senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois. He serves as second vice president for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Ball, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
It's great to be with you both this morning.
We are delighted to have you with us. And you are the first in this series, so you get to you get to set the standard for all these interviews in the getting to know the Council of Presidents.
Serious pressure.
So
it is real pressure today, yes.
Can you answer the trivia question for us? How many vice presidents serve for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
There are six vice presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So Sarah got it.
So you can only count on one hand if you're Inigo Montoya. No, not Inigo
Montoya. Not Inigo Montoya.
His archenemy, yes. All right. So for this series, while we'll talk about serious things, we might also be a little lighthearted. And it's a getting to know you sort of thing. And
it's true.
The tradition here in the Coffee Hour with getting to know you includes lightning round. Are you ready for the lightning round, Pastor?
I am ready.
All right. Favorite color.
I like it. Favorite cuisine.
Corn on the cob.
I should be making note of these.
You should.
We might need to unpack some of these.
It's a very Southern Illinois answer.
Favorite book. And we know that you probably love the Bible and the Lutheran Confession.
Yeah, so
if you want to go beyond that.
Yeah. Besides that, the Lutheran hymnal.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
They're all great books. They're all great books.
That would be my favorite too. Favorite office supplies. It's a very important question.
Really like a good highlighter, but like a chalky one, if you know what I mean by that. So
chalky highlighter.
It's more like a crayon.
Wax ones.
Yes.
A wax one, yes.
Yeah.
I really like those.
Those are nice.
Concordia Plans had those for a while.
I still have
I have a stack of Concordia Plans highlighters. Every time I see them, I swipe them from them because I love those things.
That's hilarious.
Well, I can't unpack it yet. We'll have to save that later. Okay. favorite dessert.
My wife's peanut butter pie.
Ooh. Andy wants to eat that peanut butter pie now. Vacation destination.
Marco Island.
Okay.
All right. Favorite hymn.
My favorite hymn is actually the greatest of all hymns. It is the King of the Chorales, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. Everyone should have that as their favorite hymn.
Okay. We'll have to see if everyone else agrees with you later in this series.
Sadly, they don't.
Ah, womp womp. All right, last one. Favorite time of day?
My favorite time of day is right around 8:20 in the morning when we have chapel every day here at school.
Delightful.
That is delightful.
Okay, you've given us a lot to work with here.
Passed.
We have we may have several to unpack. All right, so where did it all begin? Where did you grow up, Pastor?
I am from Richmond, Michigan, which is in the Southern Thumb. I was born in Madison Heights, Michigan. My mom was a nurse at Martin Place Hospital there. So that's about a good 50 minutes from where I grew up. But she had me in the hospital she was working at. And I grew up on our farm. Family farm now has been in our family for 154 years. Our family's been living on that ground. And there's a wonderful picture of me when our farm became a centennial farm in Michigan. I'm sitting on top of the sign with my dad and my uncle and my grandpa next to the sign. It's really kind of a cool picture. So our family's been there for a very, very long time. And went to our St. Peter Lutheran Church in Richmond, which was known better then as Muttonville. And I went to school there from kindergarten through eighth grade, then went to Lutheran High North in Macomb Township, Michigan. And so that's where I grew up. And my mom's still in the house I grew up in. Like I said, our family's still there. And it was a wonderful place to grow up. Happy memories. I love going back all the time. And, you know, it's really great when, you know, I serve in a farm rural community too. And you go to those places where the ground has been in the family for a very, very long time. They're very precious places. And you think about your ancestors that were there, and you give thanks to God for them to have a rooted place. So, you know, my home place is a long ways away from here, but I'm very blessed that my kids have this place where they're from. So.
That is excellent. Now, is the corn on the cob from the farm in Richmond or the farm in Hamel?
Yeah, both. I just love corn on the cob. We always had sweet corn when I was a kid. We'd have it in our garden, or my grandparents were a quarter mile down the road. My grandpa had a huge garden, and we would just go out and pick it. And we've got lots of people that grow sweet corn around here, so we get tons of it all summer long, which is really great. And I just love it.
It's a true American delicacy.
Mm-hmm. It is. American,
yeah. Yeah, for sure. So how did you end up at seminary? What's that story?
When I was in, well, it's actually pretty funny. When I was in eighth grade, I know God really blessed me. I was able to do my memory work pretty well in catechism. And we were reciting our memory work, and one of my good friends, he wasn't all that great at doing his memory work. And I was kind of messing around, and he was fumbling through his catechism recitations, and I started laughing, and my pastor kicked me out of class. And I was in the hallway, and I was just very, very upset. I'm like, I'm not going to get confirmed. This is terrible. And then he called me back in and said, why'd I kick you out of class? I said, well, because I was messing around. And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, you know, I think that you should really consider being a pastor. It was kind of out of the blue. So, you know, God's given you some gifts. Maybe you could do that. And so since then going through high school, I had really good teachers who encouraged me, and then went to Concordia University River Forest to be pre-sem, and kind of went from there. You know, it was always something from when I was like 13 years on that I was encouraged to do. And then finally, in the end, in 1999, God said, yeah, you can do this. And I was extended a call through the church to be a pastor.
So let's reflect on your formation at the seminary. Tell us about your favorite class at seminary.
I think my favorite class at seminary was, I had a couple, but the one that really stands out was Life and Theology of C.F.W. Walther with the sainted Dr. Silflo. We used to meet over at Concordia Historical Institute, and it was like a seminar class for upper level students. I had a lot of great classes at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, but this one was just a lot of fun because Dr. Silflo, he brought Walther's life and theology to life. He had all kinds of wonderful anecdotes and stories that I think only he knew from his own research over the years. And it was actually the last class he taught before God called him to glory. And it was the spring quarter of my fourth year there. And we just brought in a bunch, the very last class, we brought in a bunch of beer and pop and snacks, and he just got the greatest kick out of that we were kind of sending him off with a party in his last class. But it was a wonderful class to kind of see how our theology was lived in Walther's life, how he sought to pass it down to generations that came after him and did, and were the recipients of such great treasures because of him and our other Missouri Synod forefathers that went before us. So that was just a great class, a fun class, an enjoyable class. And a lot of people don't think that history is fun, but I do. And it was really a great one.
History is so fun. We love history here around these parts, for sure.
Yeah.
How did that time at seminary, the time with your classmates and your professors, how did that form you to be the pastor that you went on to be when you received that first call?
Now, my wife doesn't like me to say this, but those years at the seminary were kind of the best years of my life. Now, I'm allowed to say it because I met her on vicarage, so she's part of it. Mm. But in some ways, it was good for me to mature. Seminary, for a lot of guys, is a continuation of adolescence for an extra 4 years, which is not good. But for me, it helped me to grow up, to learn that I had responsibilities that were going to be upcoming very soon. I say extension of adolescence. It means if you're a residential student and you're single, you're living in the dorm with your bros, it's a lot of fun. And you don't have a lot of day-to-day responsibility compared to other guys who might be married, have moved from someplace else. But if you're single living in the dorm, I mean, it's the life because you're studying the Word of God with your friends. You're all pointing in the same direction. You're having the mind of Christ being put into you by your professors. You just can't get it anywhere else. So I just loved it. I think all men that are aspiring to the office of the Holy Ministry should go to seminary and live there and be a part of that experience. It also forms us, like I said, together as Christian men who are all learning the same teaching for the purpose of proclaiming the saving gospel to a fallen world and for caring of souls. Just, it can't be replaced by anything else. So it was just a great experience for me. And, you know, like I said, the great blessing on top of it was when I was sent on vicarage to Boston, Massachusetts, I met this wonderful girl from Montana who ended up being my wife.
We're talking with the Reverend Benjamin Ball. He's senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois, and serves as second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll continue our conversation in our series of Getting to Know the Council of Presidents in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth. Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our series, Getting to Know the Council of Presidents. Our guest today, the Reverend Benjamin Ball. He's senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois, and serves as second vice president for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All right, so he survived the lightning round, made it through to the next round where we ask more serious questions about formation at seminary and shared with us a little bit about what that formation looked like, favorite class, and meeting the love of his life on vicarage and getting married. Take us a little bit further in time now. Bring us after vicarage and returning to seminary, I assume, for that fourth year. Take us into receiving that call and going to serve in the parish.
I was really kind of blessed when I left vicarage. It was in Boston. And I, you know, again, I'm a Michigander, so I didn't have an experience living out there. And it was really a neat thing to live out there for a year. When I pulled out of there, when I left, I'm like, I'm never coming back here again. It was great to be there once. I thought I would just get called back somewhere, Michigan, maybe Illinois. But on call night, I got called back to the same circuit that I had served my vicarage in St. Luke's in Dedham, Massachusetts. And I was there for 5 years. And it was a real blessing. And we got married during that time. Wonderful and gracious and kind people. And then, after 5 years, I was called to St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Brookfield, Illinois. And I served there for about 8.5 years. Also a wonderful, wonderful place. 4 of our children were born there when I served there. And then in 2012, was called to serve down here in Hamel, where I've been ever since.
So what do you love about the congregation you serve currently, but also the previous congregations? What's brought you joy over the years of being the pastor to these particular groups of people?
Yeah, I was given a sabbatical by the congregation here in Hamel 2 summers ago, and I got to go back for a week to Boston and see some of the kids that I had instructed as children who now are adults, married with children of their own. And it was such a blessing to me to see, okay, the word that God allowed me to sow in these hearts of these kids 20 plus years ago, they're now passing on to their children who also are now confessing Lutherans. I was so thankful to God for that, to be able to see like, wow, he used me to preach his word to these people and his word is living and active and he's carrying it out in their lives. That was great. And it was at St. Paul in Brookfield where I really started to know about classical Lutheran education and got really involved in that there at our school for people that were just wonderful and great people. And it was it was really a difficult thing to leave there because there was no earthly reason to accept a call down here to Hamel when we're in Brookfield, but God had other plans. I was really sure that it was time for me to take a call elsewhere. And it came down to here, and CFW Walther considered our congregation, it was founded in 1856. And speaking of Walther, we talked about before, but he knew our congregation very well, and he considered it. There's a great quote about our congregation from Walther that he said, "Our congregation was a dear old congregation, rich in knowledge and experience." Now, he said that somewhere in the 1870s or 80s, the congregation was only like 15 years old. But back then, in the late 19th century in Missouri, there were congregations popping up all the time. So a congregation that's 20 years old was an old congregation back then. And the thing is about this place, what Walther said about it back then in the 19th century is still true. They love the Word of God. And they love God. And they love other people. And they want the gospel to be spread into all the world. And the people of God here are just singularly dedicated to Christ and His Word. And that kind of gets expressed in all kinds of different ways, which we don't have time to talk about today. But I am just privileged and honored to be the pastor here after a long, long line of pastors for 165 years. And God is just greatly blessing us here. And, you know, just one of the things that is happening here is our school is bursting at the seams. We have a pipe burst recently, which is not good, but children are being drawn, families are being drawn, people are being catechized, adults are getting baptized. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place. And I'm so very thankful that God has making me to be just a part of it here in this little time that I've got to spend on this earth.
So in addition to serving St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois, and I know that probably takes a lot of one's time, especially when you have a wonderful school like St. Paul, what are the duties of the second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? What do you get to do in that particular role?
Yeah, that's a real honor. I was first elected a vice president of the Synod in 2019 at that convention. Basically, if you look at the constitution and bylaws of the Missouri Synod, there's not a lot of duties that are really lined out for us to accomplish. There are some very clear ones that we have to accomplish. We're members of the Council of Presidents. We have full voice and vote there. Mainly, what my position is to represent the Synod President, President Harrison, his request, in a lot of different ways. So I represent him at various meetings of entities that might be happening, representing him in a variety of forums that at his request. And that's really an important position because he is just one man with 35 districts that he's supervising and all the different things that office has to fulfill. And so to kind of be the guy that's holding up the prophet's hands is a real honor for me and a privilege. I really enjoy it. I serve the central region of the Synod, which is the Indiana District, Central and Southern Illinois, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and the Mid-South District. So it's really the heart of the Synod, just a lot of congregations, but very different congregations too. I mean, spread out from Arkansas, you know, all the way up to, you know, the northeast corner of Indiana. A lot of different kind of people and different experiences that people are having. So it's really great for me to get out when I'm able. Thankfully, I'm so blessed with associate pastors here who help me in many ways in our congregation that I'm free to able to do some things for our synod on President Harrison's behalf. And sometimes it's much more intense, especially like during district convention season, which was last summer, when I'm going to the conventions of our districts and running around quite a bit. But it's really fun to meet people, to talk to the lay people in our congregations, to talk to pastors about their great joys and also about their great struggles and the things that we have to face as a synod together. I also get to, on behalf of the Presidium of the Synod, that's President Harrison and the vice presidents serve on the Board of Regents of Concordia University in Nebraska. That's a real joy for me, too, to be a part of a wonderful institution that is teaching God's Word and preparing young people for lives of service to God and the church and the world. That's really a neat experience that I get to be a part of, and I'm very thankful for that.
What are some things you've learned about the LCMS at large through your service on the Council of Presidents?
I learned about how people really love their synod. They want it to thrive. They want a synod that is unified in doctrine and practice. They want a synod that is boldly proclaiming the Word of God, that the gospel is being shared with the whole world, both in overseas with the work we do together, but also at home in our circuits and districts and as a synod as a whole in our nation. They know that people are starving to hear the Word of God. If the people don't know it, we do, and they want the Word of God to be spread and taught in its truth and purity. And I think it's really refreshing to hear people say, we need to get the Word of God out. We want to get the Word of God out. And also, I get to give reports and say what our synod is doing together in a variety of ways to serve God's people and to reach and seek and save the lost as the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do so. So I've learned how much people really, really love their church. And it's always refreshing to me to hear about the stories of congregations and people individually, how they're sharing the Word of God and where He's put them.
Why are you a pastor specifically in the LCMS today?
Well, I'm a pastor in the LCMS because God's called me to be one. That's the most important thing. And I have to be thankful to God that He's seen fit to choose me to do that through His church. But of course, our doctrine is the one true Catholic faith confessed in the Book of Concord. And our doctrine is true and certain, and it's the biblical doctrine. So if it weren't the biblical doctrine, I wouldn't be a pastor in the Missouri Synod. But it is the biblical doctrine, and so I am. And I can, with a clear conscience, say our doctrine is the true doctrine of the Word of God. And that helps me not only have confidence in my own calling, I'm not directing people toward myths, toward uncertainties, but they can have the rock-solid foundation of the Word of God that we believe and confess. And when their conscience is stricken, when they need to hear the Word of God, when they need consolation and hope, which we all do, I can point them, here's what Jesus Christ said, and here's what our synod confesses that He said because He did. And so I'm really blessed to be a Missouri Synod pastor. I'm very thankful that I am. God's been gracious to me, and I'm thankful for His grace that He shows towards me and that I get to be able to proclaim in the name of His people and in His own name.
Speaking of good doctrine, the hymn that you picked, Wake Awake for Night is Flying, why is that one your favorite hymn?
Well, like I said, it is the king of the chorales. Philip Nicolai's words and tune, of course, are objectively the best. So now when you think about the words that are based on Matthew chapter 25 and the wise and foolish virgins, it's always the call for the church to tell people to wake up. The day is short. And we need to be following Jesus to His word, by His word, to His supper that gives us communion with Him as we receive His very body and blood, but also toward godly living. And the hymn just exhorts us to do that. It's a wonderful hymn. And of course, J.S. Bach makes good use of it in his cantata, which is, again, very beautiful. But, you know, kind of on the personal side of things, we sang the hymn at our wedding. And it always reminds me of the great gift that God's given to me and my wife, even as we are members of Christ's bride, the church. So, yeah, just the best hymn. Best one's ever been written by non-inspired pen.
The Reverend Benjamin Ball. He's senior pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois, second vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Ball, thanks so much for joining us and being the first in this series.
Hey, you're welcome. And the reason why black is my favorite color is that I'm colorblind. When I was in kindergarten, my teacher was trying to teach me colors and I couldn't get any of them. The only one I knew was black. So I just stick with black.
I just assumed it was because it's what you wear every day.
No, no. There's that too, but...
Thanks, Pastor Ball. We've enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for being
here. Thank you. Great to be with you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.